Nearly 250 years ago, America's founders came together to declare that everyone has unalienable rights. Just what those rights are has been debated ever since. Judy Woodruff looked at those questions and more today in a visit to the University of Virginia in Charlottesville.
Thanks, Amna. I came here to UVA to take part in a program honoring the NewsHour's co-founder and former anchor, the late Jim Lehrer. And while here, I had the chance to speak with a professor who has long been interested in America's polarization, which has only grown sharper in the past few years, including just last week with the Supreme Court and the abortion rights draft. He is political scientist Sid Milkus, whose latest book is What Happened to the Vital Center. Sid Milkus, thank you very much for talking with us. You have studied, you've written so much about democracy, about you've looked really hard at what's held us together and what's driven us apart. Where are we right now?
We're fighting over the meaning of our rights, the meaning of the Constitution. I think what strikes me as different about the contemporary period of polarization is our democracy is so unfiltered now, if you will, that many of the institutions that in the past have constrained our battles, fundamental as they've been, have been weakened considerably. And I look to the 1960s as an important period that began to weaken some of the key institutions that have been critical to building a consensus in American politics.
And you also write about the growing importance, the growing power of the executive branch, the presidency. What effect has that had on our democracy?
Yeah, for a long time, until the 1960s, there was some obligation on the part of the president to stand above partisanship, to moderate conflicts. And as Theodore Roosevelt put it in a kind of a beguiling way, the president was supposed to be the steward of the public welfare. Presidents didn't completely live up to that, but there was an obligation to at least transcend to a degree partisanship. And I think that has changed since the 1960s. We've seen a merger of partisanship and executive power. And I think that's a very combustible combination.
And I think some people have been tempted to say former President Trump is the zenith of that. Your argument is that this all started before he came along.
Yeah, a lot of the issues that former President Trump made central to our political battles really start in the 1960s and really have their origin with the conservative reaction to the dramatic social and cultural changes that take place in the 1960s, civil rights being the most dramatic example of that. And in response to that, a conservative movement has emerged. And they emphasize things like law and order, protecting family values, protecting the right of parents to have some influence on the curriculum. All these issues are there in the 60s, and they've kind of filtered through our political system ever since. And I think what happens is President Trump brings them to a head in a way that had not occurred before his presidency.
Given where we are and the corrosive effects on, it seems to me, our ability to work together, how far do you think this could go? I mean, some people have said, well, maybe we'll have another civil war.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think?
You know, it's really frightening, Judy, that a lot of commentators have referred to this period as the Cold Civil War in American politics. And the question is, could a cold civil war become a hot civil war? And of course, what happened on January 6th was a really serious foreboding of such a possibility. The foundation of self-government in the United States was challenged in a way that hasn't happened before. The challenge to the notion that we had a free and fair election, when all evidence pointed to the fact that we did, suggests that that we're in a really dangerous place in American politics. I mean, I don't think we're at the place we're going to be shooting at each other, but I definitely think a political system is in dire straits when each side views the other as an existential threat to American democracy and to their understanding of what American life is all about.
I was struck in the book that at one point you quote two other scholars saying, I think this is right at the end, saying few societies in history have managed to be both multiracial and genuinely democratic.
Yeah.
That's
something. It is really something. And, you know, it's hard to find reason to be optimistic in American politics, but I'm less opposed to polarization than a lot of my colleagues, because I think, in a sense, democracy, what should be understood as democracy, takes flight in the 1960s. Before the 1960s, if you look at comparative politics and the way democracy is measured, given the Jim Crow system and the other discriminations against people of color, we were not a democracy until the 1960s. And so it seems it's not surprising that since self-government in America really took flight only 50 years ago, that we're having these struggles over these issues. And I think it's something we have to have, because what would really make us exceptional if we can find a way to reconcile democracy in a multiracial, multiethnic society?
Given what you said a moment ago, that you're not so discouraged about the polarization, that it's a healthy thing maybe that's going on, right? Where are we headed? I mean, how do you see this being healed in coming years?
You know, I'm a lot better at explaining diseases than coming up with remedies for them. I don't see anything immediate that's going to heal us. But in addition to the fact that we're having a very important conversation, and that may be resolved by things like massive demographic shifts. I mean, if you look at the young, my students, for example, I don't think they're nearly as polarized as the rest of the country. I think they look at us with a bit of disdain that our generation is the generations before them are so divided. A lot of these social issues that I've talked about, they're very comfortable with them. They're pretty comfortable about having hard conversations. So that's one hope. Generational change, which is the way American democracy has developed throughout our history. New generations have. Jefferson felt this was absolutely essential about American democracy, that every generation would have the opportunity to define the meaning of the Declaration that fit their circumstances. So that's one thing that makes me, gives me some optimism.
It's a good note to end on. Yeah. Professor Sid Milkus, thank you. Thank you very much.
It's been an honor to be with you, Judy. Thank you.
It's been an honor to be here at the University of Virginia, where earlier today I took part in a program honoring my late colleague, Jim Lehrer. You can watch my conversation about how we at the NewsHour work to live up to the standards Jim set. That's at pbs.org/newshour.